The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Sling, A Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. Still to come, Las Vegas Chris in studio. Las Vegas Chris, multiple handicapping, football handicapping winner here in Nevada, who will talk to us about any number of subjects. I don't think two segments is enough with Chris. So many betting subjects to talk about. And then he wants to talk about movies and TV shows. I don't know if we'll fit it all in, but Jeff is looking at me like I'm crazy. By the way, Jeff, is there a ghost over my left shoulder? I'm just looking in the window behind me right there. It's very scary. By the way, this entire show is under protest because Jeff is moving phlegm around his internal organs like nobody's business.
Under protest?
This is just under protest.
You go to giant, like they do in baseball, where the umpire draws out
that's right,
a big capital P with up to the
under protest.
Booth. Under protest? That's always my favorite when that happens.
Go back to the shot of me. Is that a spooky ghost behind me? Is it back there? Look at it. Oh, no, it's just a human. Okay, just curious.
Okay.
It's very, very strange how he's standing right there. Ladies and gentlemen, from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com, it's Mark Borchardt. How you doing, Mark?
Gil, I'm doing good, man. It's been a fun season. I'm enjoying the Yankees just win games. So they find ways to win every night.
Mark Borchardt, who had the over 91 before the season, when I asked him what he projected the Yankees to have in the season win total, he said, 98. And we all laughed at 98. Oh, well, because I'm amusing myself, the Yankees are one game currently behind the 2001 Mariners at this point in the season. And it should be noted, the Mariners lose two out of their next three. So the Yankees have a shot at getting ahead of the 2001 Mariners in the era versus era standings, because there's Lord knows there's no use paying attention to them in modern day standings the way that they're playing baseball. Before we get into your picks for today, can we don't often do this, but we do it from time to time. But I think it's time to sort of reset on this, because you come on and you know you give picks and people hear sort of our deep dive metrics conversation sometimes, but Let's just sort of reset on some of the things you use, to the extent that you're willing, right? Some of the things that you use to handicap baseball games on a day-to-day basis. And I'll just use as a sort of starting point that 10 years ago, you could simply go to FanGraphs, right? And you could do very well handicapping baseball. I don't know about 5 years ago, but certainly 10. Go to FanGraphs. And instead of the baseball card stats of pitchers, wins, losses, ERA, just to simplify it, you could go to Fielding Independent and XFIP and BABIP and strand rate and really just a very cursory look at a FanGraphs page and have knowledge that a starting pitcher would last a certain amount of innings into a ballgame, much longer than is the case today. And you could you could really consistently beat the sport of baseball. We aren't there anymore. Right? Everybody knows about all that stuff. That's long in the rearview mirror. And so there's more of a deeper dive for someone like you when you're doing baseball. So beyond that, then, which is something I'm sure you employed when we first met each other over a decade ago, what are some of the things that you really rely on these days?
Well, you know, I think that it's going to sound really vanilla, but the walks and the strikeouts, to me, I mean, that's the water of baseball handicapping. All this other stuff, you know, the barrel rate, which I use a little bit, hard hit per nine, all the 11 metrics that they score each individual pitch on. That's kind of the wine. But if you can't get that walks and strikeouts probability down, you're lost, because that's super important. That's the most important thing. That's the water of handicapping, Gil. Now, having said that, there's, you know, what time frame do you use? How do you look at it? You know, where do you go? So what kind of splits do you empower with that particular? I can say walks and strikeouts, and that's like, well, that's pretty easy, but it's not, because you gotta kind of look at different time frames and different splits and that sort of thing, Gil.
Well, let me just jump on that for a second, just to simplify that, because you're right. Some people are gonna be like, oh, great insight, Mark. No, but take core. Coors Field. Let's just take Coors Field as sort of the, you know, the extreme. The single most important stat for pitchers at Coors Field is strikeouts and walks, period, end of sentence. Because at Coors, the premium of having base runners on or not having base runners on is so much more magnified, right, than in any other ballpark. So that's like, that's the key. Like, if you can erase batters, Joe Pita used to talk about this back in the day. If you can erase batters at Coors by K, just by removing them from the equation, that is so, that goes so far beyond anything else, right? Anything else that you can parse, which we do, that's how we are, but it goes so far past any of those other things. Isn't that true? Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that you have to, you've got to be able to I'm just thinking about Coors Field, because you got to be able to contextualize that data moving forward. So, you know, strikeouts are like 20% less at Coors Field than any other ballpark. So you have to, if the guy gets six strikeouts there, he should have seven instead of six. He should have 7.2 because, you know, of the park factor. So you've got to know that moving forward. You've got to be able to handicap. You know, Colorado is a really tough team to handicap, because you have to bake out the park factors, put them back in when you're handicapping the game. And so that's what I mean by, well, you know, you've got walks and strikeouts, and that's that you seem think that's pretty easy on the surface. But when you start contextualizing stats and looking at splits, it gets very complex very fast.
Yeah, Gil. Coors, I'm almost sorry I brought it up, because Coors has so many little quirks, right? Sergio Romo, just to use the Giants former closer, who's obviously been peripatetic, gone all around the league since. But Sergio Romo, who, you know, famously in Detroit, was on the mound striking out Miguel Cabrera, winning the Giants' second of three World Series in the early part of last decade. His slider would just flatten at Coors, right? Like as most pitchers will have their stuff. So there's all kinds of things to know about all the different environments. Is ballpark?
But I don't, Gil, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that's bad advice. I think if you were really good at handicapping walks and strikeouts, you could carve it out in betting baseball. You really could. You could take all that stuff, and I'll use it. I'll talk about barrel rate. I'll talk about chase percentage. I'll talk about the Athletic Pitching Plus number. I like to look at them, but like I think that as a handicapper just starting out, like if you can master the walks and strikeouts, you're going to go a long way.
If I said to you, all right, beyond that, if you could only have access to one metric, what would it be?
Outside of the walks and strikeouts?
Yes.
I'd quit. No, I mean, I would. That's the most important.
No, you get that one. I'll give you that one. But you get one more.
Well, I would go into the isolated power. I think isolated power is probably, you know, it goes strikeouts, walks, probably isolated power to me as far as, you know, the hierarchy of statistics. And I think if you use those, and again, there's ways to contextualize it and break it down by splits and stuff. In fact, you know, I'm trying to get rid of a lot of the other stats, because I think you can get really distracted. But if you got really good with walk, strikeouts, and isolated power, you'd be a really good handicapper, in my opinion.
Okay, let's go. So you brought up something. Let's reverse engineer. Let's go the other way. What do you feel are the stats that you hear, or the metrics that you hear are used by others, that you feel are often the most useless? So let me just give one to begin with. I hear a lot of, I don't know about a lot, but I hear some people bring up BVP, batter versus pitcher stats, right? They'll talk about, well, this person is that versus this pitcher. And I always say to myself, I go, the times where that sample size is meaningful, Like, I can remember seasons where I would only have like one game where I'd be like, okay, this pitcher has enough meaningful sample against multiple batters on the other team where this is actually, you know, noteworthy to bring up. But that's literally like entire baseball seasons where there might be like one moment of that. Do you find that or others that you that make you cringe a little bit?
Yeah, that bothers me a little bit because they're not looking at a large enough sample for the most part. So like even if you're taking a look at a stat that stabilizes pretty quickly, like strikeout percentage. I mean, that's probably the most stable stat. It correlates the best, but you still probably have to have 120 plate appearances before it stabilizes. And, you know, they're using, you know, hey, this guy's 4 for 10. He's got 4 home runs out of 10 at bats against this pitcher. And there's just so much, there's not enough data in that particular piece of analysis, Gil, in my opinion.
Let me go back to K-Ray, because again, all of this triggers memories of handicapping baseball for so long, which is K-Ray, you're right, probably takes about, you know, more than people think to actually be meaningful. But would you concede that K-rate from the beginning of a season in early April, that K-rate is the one that stabilizes the quickest generally?
Absolutely. K-rate is so good because it does stabilize fast and it does correlate to future performance too. So that's a stat that you have to, if you could build a model with K-rate, which you really can't, but you can come close, then that strikeout rate is like I said, it's the water of handicapping, Gil.
Have you found, and I ask you this, some variation of this every year, but is there a time of year where you do better than other times of year? Because I used to have an answer to that question, and then it always changed.
You know, it depends, Gil. I tell you, in the course of my handicapping career, I'm usually better earlier in the season. What happens, I think, a lot is that people will judge a pitcher off the first 2 or 3 starts, and they tend to adjust their evaluation of the pitcher too fast. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's probably like, I think the biggest mistake that I see with other handicappers and guys that can handicap the game pretty well is that they're too quick to adjust a rating. And I think that there's a magic number there. I will never tell you what it is, but from a time frame standpoint, there's certain time frames you should use for certain numbers.
Well, it took the full segment, but I knew we'd run into a wall at some point on something. There you go. All right, we'll come back more with Mark Borchardt, including his picks of the day in Major League Baseball. We'll see how many we can squeeze out of him next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN summer special is here. For only $19, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Sign up today. You'll get VSiN's daily best bets, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream, whatever you want, at the cost is only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. So is Mark Borcher. Jeff, who you got in the USFL final? Philadelphia or the other guys?
The other guys.
I have no idea.
Isn't it Birmingham?
Is it?
Pretty sure.
The only
is.
Reason I know Philadelphia is in is on primetime action. Matt Brown made some off the cuff, ridiculous Philadelphia Stars 6-1 to win it all bet at the beginning of the season because we had some USFL expert on. I don't remember his name. Apologies. And he said Philadelphia Stars. He's on the cusp.
Yeah, it is the 9-1 in the regular season Birmingham Stallions against the regular season 6-4 Philadelphia Stars. It's a big game.
Kelvin Bryant still playing for the Stars?
Don't think so. Also, for whatever reason, these games are in Canton.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
They moved them from Birmingham? They're in Canton now?
Semis were in Canton as well.
Have you been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, by the way?
I have. I enjoyed myself the one time I was there.
It's like driving by an Arby's.
Yeah, it does pop out of nowhere, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just like driving by an Arby's. By the way, who you got in this Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell grudge match? Boxing exhibition.
Isn't that a bet on Peterson regardless?
Oh, I said yesterday, I'm like, how could he not be favored by a lot, right?
Who doesn't love celebrity boxing?
What's going on with these players needing to box? Mark Borcher's never boxed a day in his life. He's from an undisclosed location somewhere in Arizona. How you doing, Mark? Have you boxed a day?
Oh, no, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I knew that was coming. Wish I could have bet on that coming out of your mouth. Man. All right. What is pick number one today, sir?
You know, I'm going to go with this national team, and I've got both of these pitchers rated right about average, and you could argue with me about it. But one of the things that I've been working on the last couple of weeks is this luck rating for the pitcher, and that takes into account left on base percentage, home runs to fly balls, and batting average of balls in play. And Corbin's been really unlucky. He's like in the third percentile from a luck standpoint. So if you were 99 percentile, you'd be the luckiest. If you were 1 percentile, you'd be the unluckiest. Well, he's one of the unluckiest pitchers. I've got it. The Nationals at -148. You can get it at -117 last time I checked. One of the things about the Nationals, they've been kind of down this year. I mean, really down. But if you look at their plate discipline, and we just talked about that in the first segment, you look at their offensive plate discipline, and this is just walks divided by strikeouts. And they're fourth in baseball. They're between the Yankees and Toronto in plate discipline skills. And then against left-handed pitching plate discipline skills, they're third in baseball. So I think that goes a long way for me, at least. And I think Quintana, you know, he's never been somebody that I've loved. But, Corbin and Quintana are probably equally poor, but I think Corbin's been unlucky, and Quintana's like his luck number is kind of like right about where it needs to, where, you know, right about mid pack.
Boy,
so I'm gonna go with Washington there.
You aren't kidding, man. I'm looking at Patrick Corbin's Fangraphs page now. Here's the thing about this conversation, because people aren't gonna be like, "Oh, you said Patrick Corbin's good." No. I'm just saying he's still no good. He's just not as sucky as you think he is kind of what the context is, right? Like his ERA is 6.60, but his advanced stats are a 4.98 and 4.34 XFIP. And all of that informed by just what you were talking about, a 367 BABIP. My God, is that unlucky. And a 60.8% strand rate, which is ridiculous. What's league average, 78 or something like that?
No, it's 72. 72. Yeah.
All right, but still 60.
I mean, but I'm so glad I'm talking to you, Gil, because you get it. Like, I'll talk about this stuff, but you actually understand it. So it's like it's cool to be talking to you about it.
Well, thank you, sir. That's why I love you, man. 15.7% home run to fly ball rate. To be honest with you, he's had worse than that before, but he's chronically with at least the last 3 years, has had a bad home run to fly ball rate. But yeah. So you are on the Nationals. You hoping some of that regression comes today?
Yeah, and you bring up a good, so this is where it gets really advanced, because you got to like compare it to the baseline, and like only you would know that. If I'm talking to, you know, well, 10 guys, you probably would only know that. So to do it correctly, you probably have to compare it to the guy's baseline. But this is a good, quick, and dirty way to do it, just from a daily handicapping standpoint. So that's why I've incorporated it into my looks on a game.
All right, now let me just ask the real question. Nationals, Pirates, do you actually sit down and watch this, Mark? Or do you have a life?
Yeah.
And you
I'll probably
do?
Watch a little bit of it. Yeah,
Okay.
I'll probably watch maybe the first couple innings.
But it's not like you're watching from the first pitch to the last pitch because you have action on the Nationals.
No, I can't do that because I'm working on other things and moving around. But like I've been attention. You know, it's funny. You know, as a handicapper, you're told not to watch the games. You just put your nose into the spreadsheet and don't watch anything. And it does take an emotional, it takes kind of an emotional tax on you, right? But I don't think it would be as fun if you didn't watch the games.
I listen when I'm betting tennis or whatever, and even baseball back in the day. I really think you miss out if you don't watch. Like there are absolutely things you can miss out on. And like I said, I've known handicappers that I've respected for many, many years who sort of wore it as a badge of honor. Even my buddy Las Vegas Chris, who might be coming on later. Like he doesn't watch, right? Like, which is like a quirk that I could never understand, but works for him, right? He can read a market like nobody's business, so why does he need to watch? He's like, why go through all the ups and downs? I'm not wired that way. I can't do it. So maybe my flaw. Anyway, so
true.
Nationals for you. What's next?
Next game, I'm going to go with the Marlins. And you can get plus money on this, like plus 125. I've got it priced at minus 102. And Hudson's a lucky pitcher. He's in the 90th percentile. His stuff plus, and this is what I like to look at, just kind of to this comes from The Athletic. This is his 11-pitch, you know, score that they give on stuff plus. He's the worst of all starting pitchers. He's got the worst stuff. And sometimes when you see a guy like this, you're like, well, his location's pretty good. His location plus is a 37th percentile. And then if you go ahead and take a look at basewinner.com, you go up and you look at his base winner ERA, it's 5.61. And, you know, Garrett's not too bad. He's at 4.05. So for all those reasons, I'm going to go with the Marlins in that game.
Yeah, Dakota Hudson, 265. BABIP, right? Let's see here. Yeah, he's been somewhat fortunate there. 9.8% home run to fly ball rate is super fortunate. Yeah, so again, a guy the opposite of what we're talking about, 3.72 ERA, but his FIP and his XFIP about a run higher than that. Can we squeeze one more out of you by any chance?
Yeah, let's go with this. Let's go with the Toronto game. And Stripling, I like. I've got this game priced at minus 164. It's priced at minus 130. And I think if you go to basewinner.com and you take a look at Walker, he's 2.34 ERA. You say, hey, guy's pretty good. But if you look at his basewinner ERA, it's 4.56. And if you look at Stripling's basewinner ERA, it's 3.42. And that takes into account strikeout percentage, walk percentage, and ground ball rate, which I think are very important stats to consider, Gil.
Michael Walker might have, I haven't looked at E-F, which E-F was something just your ERA minus your fielding independent, which is a really quick hack stat just to see the difference between your baseball card stats, their conventional stats, that is, and your advanced ones. He might have one of the biggest discrepancies in the league. That's like 1.63 to the bad between his ERA and his fielding independent. We're talking about Walker here. So,
no, and I know you use E minus F a lot when you handicap. It's a great way to handicap. The problem is the market's gotten pretty savvy to it. But like
no
in
question.
A case like but in a case like this, you can use it because there's value in using that, you know.
Okay. So Nationals and Marlins was the second pick?
Nationals, Marlins, and Blue Jays. We'll go with
Nationals,
that.
Marlins, and Blue Jays. How many picks do you usually have per day? Is there what do you average a day on a 15 game card?
Well, today is a bigger card than about four or five, I would say, sides and maybe a couple totals. I'm a volume guy. I don't give them all out on my show. I do a show on BetUS. I usually give two or three picks out on that show. But I'm really excited. I mean, we're going to start sending these plays out. I've been kind of dark as far as sending the plays out to other people, but we're going to start doing that in a week. I'm going on vacation. When I come back, I start sending the plays out. So it's going to be about 8-9 plays a day.
Dark just because it's this early in the season, you just wanted to wait for more of a data?
It came to it, I wanted to be able to manage the send out. So I've got a lot of it automated now. So it's going to be easier for me to do that. So I'm excited because a lot of people are looking forward to that, Gil.
Okay. I would look forward forward to it. Nationals, Marlins, and Blue Jays, the three picks today. And where can people find either your Base Winner stuff, your BetUS stuff? Where can they find all your stuff?
You go to basewinner.com, and then all my numbers and stuff are on basewinner.com. And then the show is on YouTube, BetUSA, the MLB show. So that's a daily show, and it's really been fun for me to do that show, Gil.
And what time is it out every day, would you say?
9 a.m. every day, live.
9 a.m.
And what's cool about it is if you have questions about a particular game, I'll dig deep into it for you guys.
Bro, it's 8:25. You better get a move on it. Get that show.
No, I'm off today. I start my vacation today, but I thought, you know, Gil, I'm going to bring it for you today.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. I didn't even tell Mark we were going to do a little how to fish kind of thing rather than give a fish, but thank you for that. Mark Borchardt, everybody, at BaseWinner, basewinner.com. Thank you, Mark. Enjoy your vacation.
Thanks, Gil. Will do.
Coming back on the other side, Las Vegas Chris in studio. Multiple football handicapping winner here in town. Talk about pet peeves, things in betting that he wants to talk about, ROI versus profit, maybe some movies, maybe some TV shows. I don't know. It's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, just like Brent said. It's Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay here as well. And Las Vegas Chris, everybody, kind enough to join us in studio. Always a treat when Chris comes strolling on in. Multiple handicapping contest winner, football handicapping contest winners, winner here in Las Vegas through the years. At the Palms, college football last man standing at Stations. Oh, just messed around and got a second and fifth place over at Circa. You know, that kind of thing. Ho-hum. How you doing, man?
You know, I'm not a one-trick pony.
I know you're not.
My last 600 NFL sides, I'm 58%. My last 300, I'm 59%. So I'm actually prouder that I do better betting than the contest notoriety.
Your last 300 plays, pre-flop, you are 59%.
Yeah, on sides, NFL sides.
On NFL sides. Now, there's going to be a segment of the listenership, right, that is newish to betting. Who's going to hear that and be like, 59%? That doesn't sound so good. 59% is ridiculous over that big of a sample size. Good for you, man. I know you're not a one-trick pony. You do movie reviews, too. What'd you like better, Top Gun or Elvis?
I liked Elvis better. It's a very unique movie, and they did a brilliant job of not making it like a storyline throughout, so to speak. So they took the pressure off him acting like Elvis more than they needed to. But he did an excellent, excellent job, and I really like that movie. Both of those movies are good, though.
You like Top Gun?
Top Gun was good.
Jason Caan really liked Top Gun, I'm told. Jason Caan, big fan of Top Gun. Okay, so Elvis gets the nod on that. All right, so we have your Twitter feed. For those who don't follow Las Vegas Chris, Las Vegas Chris, C-R-I-S, on Twitter. And you are, again, your great handicapping prowess, both in contest and without. But you also share thoughts about sports betting and other things on your Twitter feed. And we've just sort of taken a random sample of stuff, and we can just kind of riff on this and get your thoughts. A look into the mind of Las Vegas Chris.
Uh-oh.
All right, let's fire one up here, Jeff. What do you got here? This is, again, from his Twitter. Bad decisions in betting that result in wins only reinforce more bad decisions to come. Impulsive bets, bad lines, chasing, doubling down, risky bets, poor bet sizing, peer pressure, boredom, desperation, substance influenced, etc. What a great tweet. And you know why it's great? Is because all of us have been guilty of one or more of these at some time or another.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's why I sent it out. I probably at the time realized that I had done something I wasn't proud of, and I was thinking to myself, for the average person, you know, if you get away with this stuff, you know, just you know, going all in on the last game of the weekend, or chasing, or you know, you're drinking and you kid yourself that I'm a better gambler when I'm drinking, whatever con job you want to do in your own psyche. You use all those things as an excuse. Well, I won, you know, I'm doing well. You know, when I really concentrate, I can't do anything. So
the confirmation bias of that is hard to penetrate, yeah.
So it's just really, it's painfully important to try to do as few of those bad habits as possible.
Can you flash that up again, Jeff? Because I'll tell you that of all these, here's the one that I am most guilty of. Let me look at the list again, and just out of transparency and honesty, like which of these would I be the most guilty of? I would say impulsive bets, to be honest with you. There are still times that I struggle with, as deliberate as I am with most of my betting, there are still moments. Now, some of it was primetime action influence because we're in the moment, we're making bets. As Matt Brown would say, content bet coming up, right? Those we were just doing it for the show, just to you know, make the show more entertaining. But even in real life, there are moments where maybe I forgot about the start time to something and I'm more crunched than I would have liked to have been. And I will pull the trigger on something that I know if I'm really being rational about, I shouldn't be pulling the trigger on it. That's definitely one of mine.
Sure. And unfortunately, we find a way to give profits back at a faster rate by doing that. Because whenever we get up a little bit, that's when those things really start to kick in.
What do you think is the one that is worse for you of those?
Oh, I think that all of them I've been guilty of at one point or another, but the boredom and the peer pressure, that doesn't happen anymore.
Substance influence never happened to me.
I might have a few. Yeah, if I have a few cocktails, yeah. You know, who knows? But
Jeff Parlay?
No, it's the chase if you have a bad day. Being disciplined and avoiding that, especially when I moved out here, that was one that I was really bad with.
I think for newer bettors, that's the big one.
Yeah, that is a big one. Yeah. This is very difficult. Like if you have, don't compound your losses by forcing action on chasing, and then boredom. I mean, sometimes we get bored. We're human.
Boredom is the least talked about cause of any kind of addiction as well. Whether it be drug, gambling, whatever, like boredom is a massive factor sometimes.
That's the number one cause of
boredom.
Most abuses.
Yeah. And they never mention it.
I don't know about that. I guess it's just
I never
not,
hear it.
At the forefront. But, you know, it kind of touches base a little bit when NFL and NCAA. I was thinking last night, NCAA week one. I may not make a bet until like week three. I'm not going to be one of these guys in NFL and NCAA that has to place a bet unless I'm finding real value. I just don't feel that compulsion.
Let's do another one of from the mind of Chris. How are we pronouncing your last name these days, Chris?
Zanuck.
He never changed it. I just forgot how he pronounces it. Las Vegas Chris is the Twitter feed. This is just another just a random thought that came up in Chris's day. Myth. Oh, yeah, I love myths. Myth number one, he said, here's the myth, that sportsbooks employ touts to give bad picks and info. Chris goes on to say, think about that logically. If bad, why would you continue to consume the content? I worked with a book, and I knew damn well they wanted me to win. The books know you'll blow the money won anyway on other dumb bets. That's the key. That last line, let me repeat it. The books know you'll blow the money won that you won anyway on other dumb bets. That, by the way, is also the reason why I give some of the bookmakers that are either kind enough to join me in studio or not, where I'm like, can't you give us this? Because you're going to win anyway on the other stuff, right? Yeah. When we're talking about drafts and that kind of stuff.
Well, this is just so frustrating because I see this online all the time where they're calling people that are working for the sports books shills, and they're purposely losing. And I worked for the same company your previous guest, Mark, did last year. And I can damn well assure you they weren't happy if I wasn't doing well. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't be. They really had high standards. And I believe that all the places pretty much have high standards. They want you to win and continue to consume their content. They know you're going to screw up and do the dumb parlays and piss it away on a bunch of other nonsense. So it doesn't matter if they're giving you 58% winners, at a low volume rate from some handicapper.
Yeah. That's a very gambling Twitter thing to say. Like, they want you to lose. They're leading you wrong. No, that's not what it is. It's not what it is.
Not at all.
By the way, this gives us entree because you just mentioned that you used to do stuff. You still do put out videos, though. People should know. How do they get to that?
Oh, yeah. I'm really having a lot of fun with this. I didn't have a subscriber a year ago. I'm almost up to 500 subscribers.
There you go.
Pumping out content with my friend Ron. Ron A. Sports, and Ted Sobel, who's been with Sports USA for 20-plus years doing the NHL and NFL. So we're putting out free content, not selling anything, just doing stuff that makes us be a better handicapper. You know, my slogan is it's better to keep up with the NFL than catch up on the NFL. So a lot of good content on there.
Speaking of which, I just saw you said you did an NFC East video as one of yours lately, I believe.
Yeah.
What were some of your conclusions moving into this season?
Well, the division plays, they all play weak schedules. So by default, they're going to attract wins. And the difference between last year, I was here a year ago, I told you Washington was going to be tough times.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking at the inverse. Last year, they were facing the toughest schedule. Now they're facing the easiest schedule. And they're filling some holes in. I think the whole division as a whole is going to be a little bit improved. I mean, a lot of people are really high on the Giants, but I'm not sure they can stay healthy.
A lot of people super high on the Eagles.
Yeah, but you know what? That's too good to be true. They're gonna face some problems some way, somehow. I don't think Hurts is.
Would you bet a long shot to win that division? You don't do many season long bets, do you?
No, I only did the Ravens plus 220 or 240 or something like that
to win the AFC North.
Yeah, because that was easy. They're facing a last place schedule. Cincinnati's facing a first place schedule. The Browns are the Browns.
I've heard about them in the news recently. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but people can't write off the Browns. They're a solid team.
Yeah.
If they can just get a quarterback that does not do stupid things, they could win that division. They could have a good, great year.
Is Jacoby Brissett that guy?
I don't know about that. We'll have to see. I mean, you know, these quarterbacks that have been in the league for a while find a way sometimes to just kind of pull things together. They kind of resign themselves to what their place is, and everything better than that is, you know, a bonus.
The great Las Vegas Chris, just riffing. More of his tweets will get into his mind. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, perhaps? Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 That's 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply, that is. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil Alexander with Las Vegas Chris, kind enough to hang with us in studio at the lovely South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. How many contests are you going to be in this year, sir?
I don't know. I don't think I'll do Survivor. I'll do the millions. I'll probably do the gold. I'm not sure I'll do the regular Westgate. Maybe I will.
You'll do the gold, 5,000 entry. You'll do Circa Survivor, but not Survivor, huh? I mean, Circa Millions, but not Survivor.
You know what? I don't like the way I have to, my brain is required to kind of think differently. I found it interfered.
Mm.
More than I enjoyed it, if that makes any sense.
For you, I totally get it. For a mere mortal, I don't. But for you, I completely understand that.
I don't like the fact that you can do every single thing perfectly, and in week 14, a 17-point underdog wins outright, and you're out.
Too soon.
That's why I like
that's too soon.
I like the last man standings where all 32 teams are in play every single week. I don't like that there's only a handful of teams available in Survivor that you're supposed to play. You should have all 32 teams in play, have it as a point spread, and then there is no such thing as a bad beat. You know, a horrible bad beat, you know?
Boy. Jared Goff on the Rams hosting the Jets, 17-point favorites 2 years ago. I'll never forget it.
Hey, he's a Lion now.
Yes, he is. You got mad at me. Oh, we should bring this up. You got legitimately peeved at me on Primetime Action because I dared say something about the Lions, and you felt I was mocking them. And your comeback to me was, if you don't think they're making the playoffs, you must not watch football.
I was exaggerating. I'm not guaranteeing a playoff, but they're going to be a much better team.
All right, we have three more thoughts from Chris to get to. Here's one more from his Twitter feed, at Las Vegas Chris. Why do many bitch about losses and bad beats? If you're any good, you'll actually have more bad beats. They should be expected regularly. Nothing worth noting. A loss is a loss. The very best loss, a very best lose, rather, 45% of the time. Why waste people's timeline space with expected variance? I love this. I have always made this case. People say bad beats even out. And I always say, I go, not if you're good, they don't.
No, you're going to, if you're any good, you're going to have more bad beats.
Mm-hmm.
And it just infuriates me with my timeline being littered with chirping and complaining. But I will tell you this, I do kind of like it in NFL during the games because I don't watch the games, but one of my Twitter accounts is programmed with all the people that piss and moan. So I can follow how the games are going just by following Twitter. and for whatever reason, I like to do that.
You cull the piss and moan people on one thing? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I have all the pissing and moaning people on one feed, and it helps me keep track of what's going on in the games if I don't want to watch them.
I love that tweet. Okay, here's some other topics that you've talked about. ROI versus profit, return on investment versus profit. Reading the market in general. You said you're still surprised so many sharp people that you run into can't read a market or take it seriously. Well, if they're not taking it seriously, especially in the NFL, that's definitely a huge problem. But reading it is to me not a rampant skill. You have it in spades.
I think I went the first 65 games last season without a better line becoming available in NFL. I take the market reading very seriously, but I take it very seriously in all sports. I'm shocked because I'm working with young handicappers in sports that I don't do. You can't do it all. So there's no shame in working with other people.
Yeah.
And it works out very well because you're a little bit of a mentor and they're getting a little bit of, financial reward and experience. So I'm shocked that very talented people don't understand how important the market really is and how you can notice certain situations and teams are red flagged. And I tweeted out last week, if a sports book does not move a line when I bet it, I'm on the wrong side.
You're convinced of it.
Well, I have not gotten off of a bet yet, but I've noticed with baseball, the only time that the line does not move when I bet it, it's a loser. So I have to take it seriously.
And the ROI versus profit thing. Well, that's ROI, a big pet peeve.
Yeah. A lot of people are sitting there throwing ROI out there as their profit. And they're up 60% ROI. And that's just horse crap because
I never say ROI on this show. Never.
A good ROI that you can be proud of is between 5 and 12, 13%.
Right.
You can hold your head up high at those levels, very high. And it's just frustrating because there's a lot of people that don't understand the differences. And it's very important. Now, both profit's important and ROI is important. Mm-hmm. And by themselves, there needs to be more context. So ROI by itself doesn't tell the whole story. And profit by itself does not tell the whole story.
All right. And here's the I'm glad we saved this one for last because this one could go on for hours. New cappers out there that haven't met adversity yet think they have the tiger by the tail. Oh, I love that one. How many times have you seen this, Chris?
Well, when we change what we're doing, sometimes we actually get that euphoria that we kind of have things mastered for a while ourselves.
Sure. I mean, it's always changing.
It doesn't matter if you're new or old, but the younger generation, they have so much enthusiasm and they work so hard and they're benefiting from their hard work and they're very talented. A lot of them are very, very talented, but you don't know what somebody is about until they face adversity.
That's right.
And it's painfully important for people to go through a bad stretch. I knew I was going to have a bad NFL season last year. I told other people. I said, it's not going to be a good year. You had a good year. You're not going to have a good year. And sure enough, kind of mediocre, just, a small profit. I feel very strongly next year is going to be a monster year. And I think the people that did well last year are going to face some difficulties this year.
Yeah, the corollary to that is also the people who jump on when you happen to have a bad run. Oh, you suck at this. Yeah, okay, well, that's also not something to necessarily zero in on because it's not really the big picture. But how many people, littered with people over time who burst onto the scene, had a great run, then as soon as things went south, running for the hills.
Yeah, and
it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. And I feel for these people, because there's been a lot of great people that have been in my DMs that were really euphoric, or they're kicking butt, and then they face some adversity, and they either disappear or, they just can't regain it. It was a short-term variance type of situation.
It requires you to apply yourself in the same way that anything else would.
I think another mistake that people make, too, is, there's a lot of people out there buying picks. Well, why are you going to buy somebody that is hotter than a pistol? What you want to do is you want to find somebody that's a long-term proven winner.
That's right.
And you want to catch them on a down streak. And that's when you want to pop in.
Your favorite TV shows. We have 90 seconds. Your favorite TV shows to recommend.
You know what? I'm watching The Offer. I don't know what network it's on.
Ryan Ortega recommended that last week.
Awesome. It's about it has a little bit of Winning Time to it because there's exaggerations and stuff, but it's really good. It's about the making of The Godfather and the Evans character. I just love that
guy. He did
a
whole imitation of him and everything.
And I remember seeing that guy eating dinner with Suzanne Plachette at Dan Tana's one time.
Wow. And that's a 70s throwback reference right there with Suzanne Plachette.
I know.
Dan Tana's.
But that's just an awesome, awesome show. What else is good?
Guys, that's both you and Ortega. He loved, for the same reasons you did, he loved The Offer.
Peaky Blinders, I love that. Everybody should see that. Yellowstone was good. Lincoln Lawyer was actually good for, Oh, you know what? Here's an interesting gambling movie.
Yes.
It's called Thucydides Jr. It's an Indian movie.
What is the first word?
Thucydides.
That's a name?
Yeah, it's a name.
Spell that.
Thoolsidas. I'll tweet it out.
Okay.
I love this movie.
Tulsidas Siding?
Tulsidas Jr.
No, Tulsidas Jr.
Right.
Is the name of it.
And it's about snooker.
Oh. Thank you, Chris. We got to run. We could go on, but we got to go on. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.